The audio is recorded.
Yep.
And then
it'll
say uploading or whatever.
Correct.
I'll show it to you.
I come at 5:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, I just tried
to get service. All right, so we'll say good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to everyone who's back for Pesach. Welcome back to Alan. Welcome back to Yerach Miel. Pleasure to be here. I think everybody else I've seen already before. Good. All right, good. And welcome back to Simon, but Simon's been back already for a little bit. But, all right. We'll say, so Daf Chav Tes, let's pick up at the Mishnah. Omer Adam Lechaveiro, a person says to his friend, Omer, we'll say we're still dealing with the same halachas concerning the idea, Chav Tes and Aleph, the Mishnah, concerning the idea of how to go ahead and effectively secure for yourself additional supplies and provisions on Yom Tov itself. Remember, again, obviously we're dealing with a situation before refrigeration, preservatives, people mamish needed to be able to restock on things, especially again, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. But of course, again, you can't go ahead and do things that are going to be a violation of Mekach Umemkar. So the Mishnah says, Omer Adam Lechaveiro, a person says to his friend, Mali Liklize, fill up for me this particular utensil. So what the Tanakhama seems to be saying is, but you can't mention a particular amount. So you could say, do me a favor, fill up that cup full of lentils, but you can't ask for a kav, a pound of lentils. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im haya kli shal mida lo yimalenu. Rabbi Yehuda says, however, if it is a measuring utensil, you may not go ahead and fill it up. Maisa ba'abashol ben botnis. So Rabbi Yehuda, we'll see in the Gemara what the machlokes Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying is, even without the mention of an explicit measure, you still can't use a specific measuring utensil. Ma'aseh ba'abashol ben botnis. There was a story with Abashol ben botnis. Shayim emali midosa me'erev yom tov. He would go ahead and fill up, Rashi says, Shayim emali midosa, she'in boded in yom tov. He would fill up already pre-measured amounts prior to Yom Tov. And this way, again, when people would come into his store to go ahead and purchase it on Yom Tov, he would, or should say, take possession of it on Yom Tov, he would be prepared already to give it to them. Abishol says, Af b'moid hayo, af b'moid osikin. Truth is, so now we'll say this is Abishol commenting on Abishol ben Batnis's behavior. So Abishol says that Abishol ben Batnis would even do this on Chalamayit. Why? Mipnei berure hamidos, to avoid the foaming of the measures. The Rebbe will say, we'll see this in the Gemara, but essentially what this means is the following. So berure hamidos means that when you would pour wine, I guess that to do with the quality of the wine they had then. So if you can imagine today, I guess the equivalent would be like with soda. Right? So when you pour soda, so remember again, I can ask for a glass of soda. And what happens? You know, they fill it up, and then, you know, some part of it goes away when the foam settles down. That's why every good Jewish person knows, right? You might have to wait until it goes down, and then you leave the counter, right? Yeah, so the idea is that Abishol ben Batnis, when they would pour the wine, part of it would foam up at the top. So the Gemara is saying, so Mishnah is saying over here, he would dafka fill it up on Erev Yom Tov in order to give time for the foam to go down, to be able to give them a full measure. And for them, the Chacham say, af bechol osekin mipnei mitzui hamidos. So the Chachamim say that he would also do this because of mitzui. Mitzui means literally the draining of the measures. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says mitzui hamidos, kishahaya mocher shemen, when he would sell oil, so haya lo midos harbe, and wavina lekuchos kalein, umodeid leish vish vimidos ola atzmo, umismatzos vahochos osoch kalein kolalaila. So what's like, the way you would normally purchase oil is, you would go ahead and bring your own utensil to the store, and the owner would pour from his utensil into your utensil. What's the issue with oil? The issue with oil is that, again, oil, some of it remains on the sides of the kli, on the sides of the utensil from which you're pouring it from. So for argument's sake, if you buy a liter of oil, you don't really get a liter of oil, because you're selling that oil that leaves, that remains behind on the utensil of the seller. What Abba Butnis would do is, if somebody wanted to buy a liter of oil, they would come into the store that afternoon. He would drain his utensil into their utensil, and he would leave his utensil suspended over the other to purchase his utensil overnight, so as to allow all of the oil to drain out. He wanted to make sure to give his customers the full measure of oil. Says the Gemara, Maya Balabim. This Rabbi says the Mishnah records a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. So Tanakam says that when you go to purchase something, you go to secure provisions on Yom Tov, you can say to the merchant, fill up this utensil, avalo b'mida. But apparently you may not ask for a specific amount. You can't ask for a specific measure. Because again, Rabbi says, according to Tanakama, that would resemble mekach u'memkar, that would resemble business dealings, and that you can't do. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, im hayo kli shel mida lo yimalenu. If it's utensil that's used for measuring, you may not use it. So Gemara is trying to figure out, what does that mean? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says avalo b'mida? Amar Rabbi Yehuda mar Shmuel, avalo b'kli hamiyuchad l'mida. What Rabbi Yehuda is coming along to say is, even if you don't make any mention of an actual measurement, you may not use. I can't walk into the store and tell the merchant to fill up my measuring cup. That you can't do. You can't go ahead and use at all a cup that's used for specific measuring. However, avalo kli omid l'mida yimalenu. But I will say, here's what's interesting. So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is making a chilik between what we call a kli hamiyuchad l'mida and a kli haomid l'mida. A kli hamiyuchad l'mida is a utensil that's actually used. Actually used. Rashi says over here, haomid l'mida shemodet u'mocher bo. It's used for measuring, it's used for selling. However, ha'omed l'mida, sh'lechishi yishaber zeh, zibo zeh tachtov, aval adayin lo modan. So we'll say it's very interesting. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, so you can't go ahead and use a measuring utensil that's already in use. But what you can do is use a backup measuring utensil that has not yet been actively used. So although it may be actually a measuring utensil, because it has not yet been used for measuring, it's not called a real measuring utensil yet. Therefore, on Yom Tov, you could use that. But also, Rabbi Yehuda may say, that's the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Afilu kliya omi l'mida lo yimalenu. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, you can't even use a measuring utensil that has not yet been used for measuring. Meaning, what Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says is, you can't use any kind of measuring utensil, either one that has been actively used or one that is set aside for use for some time in the future. Alma gavisin chasyon de Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra v'rabbanon l'kula. So what do you see from here? That when it comes to matters of Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda goes l'chumra, because Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even use any kind of measuring utensil, whereas the Tanakama, who are calling the Rabbanon, are lenient, because they're saying, remember, in the Mishnah, the Rabbanon will say that you may not go ahead and ask for a specific measure, nor may you go ahead and use an actual measuring utensil that's currently being used for measuring, but you can use a measuring utensil that has not yet been used for measuring itself. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, you can't even use that. Therefore, when it comes to matters that impact Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, the Rabbanon are mekel. Aye, is that true? But we learn the opposite. This nan, Rabbi Yehuda says, shokil adam basar keneged akli, u keneged akofitz. Yet we learn, Rabbi Yehuda says, also we learned this a little bit earlier, that Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to measure out meat on Yom Tov, what can you do? You can go ahead and put the piece of meat on one side and put a utensil as a counterweight. You want to see how much meat you're actually going ahead and measuring. You can put a counterweight on the other side of a kli, of the utensil. Kofitz literally means a cleaver. The chum say, Ein mashgichim bekaf ma'aznaim kol ikar. And the chacham say, what? You may not use a scale at all on Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Yehuda l'kula. Rabbanon l'chumra. Therefore, you see from here that what? That when it comes to matters of Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda is Meikel and the Rabbanon are Machmir. It's a contradiction. Kashid Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Kashid Rabbanon, Rabbanon. So I will say again, it would appear from our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir by Simchas Yom Tov and the Rabbanon are Meikel. And yet it appears by the case of the scale that Rabbi Yehuda is Meikel and the Rabbanon are Machmir. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kashya. Rabbi Yehuda is contradicting himself. Why not? Hasam b'she'ino omeid l'mida. Very simple. In the case of the scale, the item that you're using as the counterweight is not something that is set aside for use as a counterweight. Because it's not set aside for use as a counterweight, therefore, again, using it as a counterweight does not appear to be an act of mekach u'memkar, does not appear to be an act of commerce. Therefore, you're permitted to do it. Hacha b'omid l'mida. But here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't use the measuring utensil, even if what? Even if it's never actively been used for measuring before, why not? Why not? Because the mice, again, it is a utensil actively used for measuring. So because of that, again, that resembles mekach u'memkar, resembles commerce. The rabbi is not contradicting themselves either. Why not? Hacha lo ka'avid ka'avdin b'chol. So Rabbana said the final verse. If you look at Rashi, ka'avdin b'chol, but ma'oznayim pamim she'in ha'litra lefanav, v'cheven she'odeh mishka ke'lev shokav. Rabbana, here's the difference. Rabbana will say, we don't allow you to use the utensil as the countermeasure in the case of the scales. Why? That's what's called uvdin b'chol. It resembles a weekly activity. What does it mean it resembles a weekly activity? The Rabbana say, if a merchant, if a store owner, does not have readily available weight, it's very common that what? That he'll use a utensil which he knows the weight of to be his countermeasure. It's not an out of the ordinary thing. So because that is considered to be a normative act of the way he conducts his business, that's called uvdin d'chol, it resembles weekly activity, therefore it's going to be aser. But over here, say the Rabbanon, this is not uvdin d'chol. Why is it not uvdin d'chol? Because since this utensil has never been actively used for measuring, the Rabbanon will say it's not labeled as a measuring utensil, and therefore it's going to be okay. Rava says no. Rava has a different interpretation. So also remember, all of this now is trying to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah meant by the phrase avalo b'mida. Comes along Rava, and Rava says, my avalo b'mida. What does it mean? What does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, that you may not use a mida? Shelo yiskor lo shein mida. What Rabbi Yehuda means to say is what? You may not make any mention of a specific measurement. No mention of a specific measurement of item, of product which you are trying to purchase. Ava kliyam yuchal limida, but if you have a measuring utensil, yimalenu, that's fine. And I will say that's the Tanakama. So the Tanakama says, we don't care what kind of utensil you use. You can use a measuring cup, not a measuring cup. That doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is what? Is what you say. You may not go into a store on Yom Tov and go ahead and make an arrangement with the owner to purchase a kav or to purchase a litra. Those are measurements you can't do because, again, that resembles mekach u'memkar, that resembles ultimately commerce, that resembles, again, uvdin d'chol, that you can't do. However, again, to use a measuring utensil, that's fine. But Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no. Kli ha'meyuchad l'mida lo yimalenu. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, you may not use any kind of measuring utensil. But we'll say, so again, this is a different version now for Alma. So Alma, what do you see from here? You want to ask the same exact kasha. Alma, gabe simchas yom tov, Rabbi Yehuda l'chumar rabban l'kula. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? When it comes to matters that impact the enjoyment, salvation of yom tov, Rabbi Yehuda is stringent, and the Rabbanan are mekel, ay v'ha ipchon shemina lehu, but we learn just the opposite, it's none. We'll say, just repeating what we just said before. Rabbi Huda says, Shokil Adam Basr Keneged Akli, U Keneged Akofitz, the Chachamim Omrim Ein Mashkichin Bekaf Maznaim Kolikar. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda said that you may measure out a piece of meat using on Yom Tov, using a utensil as a countermeasure. Whereas the Rabbanon say, Chachamim say, you may not use a scale at all. Therefore, what do we see from here? Am Rabbi Huda Lukula, V'Rabbanon Lukumra. Therefore, what do we see from here? That Rabbi Huda is lenient and the Rabbanon are stringent. Again, contradiction. So in one case, again in our Mishnah, it appears that the Rabbanon are mekel by matters concerning Simchas Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yehuda is machmir. And yet here, by the case of the scale, Rabbi Yehuda is mekel, and the Rabbanon are machmir. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo kashya. There's no contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Hasam b'she'inu miyuchad l'mida. Here's the difference. Using the utensil as a countermeasure, the utensil is not something that is actively designated for weighing purposes. The fact that merchants may sometimes use it is fine, but it's not something actively designated for or actively set aside for commerce, weighing, measuring purposes. Therefore, again, the Ma'aser Yehuda allows you to use it as a countermeasure on Yom Tov. However, again, Hacha, but in the case of our Mishnah over here, of the kli, of the measuring utensil, so hacham yuchad l'mita, here it is something that is actively used for measuring, and therefore it's going to be problematic to use it on Yom Tov. D'rabbanan ad rabbanan nami lo kasha. And according to the Rabbanan, also there's not a kasha. Hasam ka'avid ka'ovdin d'chol. So I will say, here's the difference. According to the Rabbanan, in the case of the scale, so what we just said before, you're doing exactly what you do during the week, meaning, as we said before, it's not uncommon for a merchant, if he doesn't have his weight right in front of him, to go ahead and use the kli. However, ha-ha, lo ka'avid ka'avdin d'chol, but over here, again, by using the measuring utensil, without any kind of mentioning of the actual measurement, that's not called uvdo d'chol, to which the Gemara says, why? Not only that, I will say, but here's what's interesting. What the Gemara is going to suggest over here is that people use measuring utensils all the time, even for things for non-measuring purposes. Right? For example, the Gemara says, "Da avdi inchi de makarvi chamra b'mana dekila b'shasu." People serve their friends glasses of wine and measuring utensils all of the time. In other words, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that lemaisa, people used measuring utensils really as regular utensils as well. So if I didn't have a clean glass in my cupboard, then I have no problem going ahead and giving my company a drink of wine in my measuring utensil as well. Because again, this measuring utensil is used for regular consumption purposes also. Therefore, it's not called the kli hamiyuchad l'kach. It's not called the utensil that is dafka set aside for measuring or for kamas purposes. And therefore, again, that's why the Rabbanon allow you to go ahead and use it on Yom Tov, as long as what? As long as there's no explicit mentioning of the purchasing of a particular amount. Weiter. Ma'aseh ba'abashal ben batnes. So, Rabbi, just so you should know, all right, I'll do the halacha ma'aseh afterwards. So the Gemara says the following. I'm sorry.
I'm curious.
Okay, all right. Ma'aseh ba'abashal ben batnes. So there was an episode of Abishal ben Batnes. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that Abishal ben Batnes would go ahead and fill up his measures already on Erev Yom Tov. So I guess he'd have whatever it is. But let's assume for a moment that the common human unit of purchase would have been a lug, for argument's sake, of liquid, a lug of wine. Say so before Yom Tov, Abishal ben Batnes would fill up individual lug containers of wine. Of wine. So the Gemara says, Tana af b'moed osekin. He would do this even on cholamoid. Even on cholamoid. And I will say what this sounds like over here is he would do it on cholamoid. He would do it the night before. So he would do this already the night before. So it would be ready on cholamoid. Nipnei bittel beis hamedrash. In order to avoid any kind of bittel beis hamedrash. Bittel beis hamedrash means so that he should not lose out time in the beis hamedrash. Now what does that mean? It's actually a very interesting Rashi. If you look over here, Tana af b'moed osekin mishum bittel. Based on that, just listen to this. Shaykh Chacham Gadol, Abishal ben Batnes, was a great Talmud Chacham. I will say, what's fascinating about this, by the way, is he was a great Talmud Chacham, and he ran a store. And I will say, I want to tell you something interesting. You know, whenever people see things like this, so they always use this like as a raya, you know, it's a little, sometimes people use it as like an underhanded shtach to elements within the Jewish community that say that you can't work. All you could go ahead and do is learn, because if you work and you learn, but also remember the shtach goes both ways. What it also says, yes, you have to have a parnasa. What it also says, even if you have a parnasa and you work full time, you have no excuse not to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham. So meaning, yes, it applies. Those who think that you can only learn Torah and not work, not true. Abishal did it. Abishal did it, so you could do it also. Those who think that just because you work 9 to 5, 9 to 6, 9 to 8, 5 to 7, whatever time you work, that you can't be an incredible Talmud Chacham, Abishal ben Batnes is going to be waiting for you after 120 at the pearly gates and is going to say, if I did it, so could you. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hu kines shlosh me'os gar be'yayin mi'birure hamidos. Well, so this is actually an amazing Gemara. So remember, what we see about Abishal was the following. Abishal was someone who was very careful with, actually this is just past week's parsha, with weights and measures. Specifically, what he was concerned about was with wine and with oil. He wanted to make sure, again, he wanted to make sure that because the wine froths up, that's the right term, froths up at the top, he would pour it early to make sure that he would give his customers the full amount, and the oil he would make sure drained from the sides of the kli. So listen to this. Hu kines shalosh me'os gar be'yayin mi'biruri hamidos v'chaverav kinsu shalosh me'os gar be'shemen mi'mitzui hamidos v'yeviu lifnei ha'gizbran li'rushayim. Listen to this, Rabbosai. So what happened? Abishal ben Batnes apparently didn't always engage in this practice. For some reason, he realized later on in his career that all these years he had been giving them a, we'll call it a lug of wine, but he wasn't really giving them a lug of wine. Why? Because let's say we'll call it an ounce at the top wasn't really wine. What was it? It was froth. So he realized, he did the calculations, he realized that over the years, he probably accumulated for himself 300 barrels of wine. Meaning, based on that extra wine that he did not give them, he calculated that he gave him an extra 300 barrels of wine. And his fellow merchants, who were also meticulous about this, realized that they accumulated about 300 barrels of oil. So what happened? Ve'vium lifnei ha'gizbar mi'ushalayim. So Abishal ben Batnes and his friends did not want to benefit from this, that what they felt was an ill-gotten gain, and so they brought it to Yerushalayim. Amar lahem, so the Gizbar, the temple treasurer, said to them, Iyatem zukukim l'kach. You don't have to do this. Meaning what the Gizbar was saying is you have to understand something. When people purchase wine, they know that when you purchase a lug of wine, that what? You're not getting a lug of liquid. Everybody knows that. You're getting whatever it is, you know, 98% wine and 2% froth. That's understood. And people know that when you buy a lug of oil, you're not really getting a lug of oil. Why? Because some of the oil adheres to the walls of the cellar's clean. Meaning it's understood on both sides, no different than certain things when you buy today, when you realize that you're not getting the whole amount. Again, not because, God forbid, the merchant is cheating you. Chas v'shalom. It's just the way that buying and selling happens. So essentially, the Gizbar says to Abishalom and Mutnas and friends, what are you doing here? It's your why. It's not ill-gotten gains. Okay, this is the way of commerce. Amar lahem, af anu ein ritzonein b'kach. What's this? It's so amazing. Abishalom ben Mutnas and his friend said, you know what? We don't want it. We don't want to benefit from something that to us does not feel yasher. We understand that it is yasher. We understand that we're entitled to it. We don't want to get benefits from it. Amar lahem, hoel v'chmartem al atzmechem, asumehem tzarchei rabim. So the Gizbar said, okay, listen, if you don't want to get benefit from it, if you feel strongly about this, my suggestion to you is use the proceeds from the sale of this wine for some type of tzarchei rabim, for communal benefit. This sign, Rabbi said, where did the Gizbar get this from? It's very interesting. Gazal v'eni odia l'mi gazal. Rabbi said, it's an interesting halacha. If you stole from someone, and I want to now do tshuva, but what? I don't know who I stole from. I don't know who I stole from. I stole from a group. I don't know who the group is. I don't know who I stole from. So what do you do with that money? You should do something of communal benefit with that money. So my ninu. So we'll say, what's an example of something for communal benefit? Boros sichin u'ma'aros. So we'll say, boros are water holes. Sichin are ditches. Ma'aros are caves. We'll say, these are all water reservoirs. So boros, again, are drinking holes. Sichin and ma'aros are reservoirs for water. So you should do something of communal benefit. Okay. Ad bere Rav Chista l'Ravna Ukva. So Rav Chista went on a walk with Ravna Ukva, v'darash, and he dashed in the following. Lo yimdod adam s'orim v'yitin l'tnei behem to b'yomdov. A person should not measure out a specific amount of barley and place it before his animal on Yom Tov. Now we'll say, if you look at Rashi says, Lo yimdod adam, it's on the left-hand side of Rashi. Rashi's both columns on this page. Left-hand side, about halfway down. Lo yimdod adam kasurim, afilu litin lebehem tov, shnir kimode limkar. Because it will say, even measuring out barley to feed to your animals, Rashi says, looks like you're about to engage in an act of commerce. We don't do any kind of active measuring on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Aval kolder, however, what can you do? Aval kolder hu kav o kavayim, v'nosin lefnei behem tov. But what can you do? You can go ahead and take your utensil and scoop up barley for your animal. Ve'ein achoshesh, and you need not be concerned about this. I will say the logic behind this is that lemaisa, again, the way they used to measure things out would be that you would take something with your hand and you would place it into the utensil. To take the utensil and scoop up the object, scoop up the item, that by definition is a shinui. That's a departure from the normative ways of doing things. And therefore, lemaisa, again, it's okay on Yom Tov. So again, you can't measure out the barley in the normative fashion, which would be picking it up and placing it in the utensil and measuring out how much you have. But you could take the utensil and scoop it up like that. So the Gemara says, furthermore, again, the baker, modei, bless you, modei tavlin, v'nosin l'soch kidei raso, kidei shlo yachdiach tavshilo. Similar to both sides, a baker could go ahead, and in this case, by the way, nachtum is a more expansive term than just a baker. It means a cooker. That's the right term, right? Somebody is cooking, a chef, somebody's cooking, so could go ahead and measure out ingredients, spices, and put it into his dish in order that his dish should not spoil. Amrav, hear me about Abba, Amrav, modedes isha kemach biyom tov, v'nosenes l'sochi sasa. Suddenly a woman could go ahead and measure out flour on Yom Tov that she will need in order to be able to bake her bread. that she will need to bake her bread in order to, right? Why? Kadisha tito chala ba'ain yofa. In order that she should take chala in a generous way. And I will say, again, remember, technically speaking, chala, Rashi says over here, ba'ain yofa, shir chala achar michavdal lekoin. Ukishain yodas midas isasa, he mikametes v'omeres in kan kol kach. Avakishi yodas midas isasa, yodas ma'ash ma'tafish ve'ino yofa basa. Also remember, challah, technically speaking, is 1/24 of the dough. It's different today because today we're not mafresh real challah. We're just mafresh more like a token challah. So the Gemara says over here that we want the woman to properly measure out the right amount of flour she wants, because if she feels that she's skimping on the right amount of flour because she can't measure properly, then what? Who's going to suffer in the end? The kohen is going to suffer in the end because he's not going to get proper challah. Shmuel, or Shmuel says aser. Shmuel says that no, this is not permitted. What Shmuel's arguing on is Shmuel saying that lemaisa, that you can't go ahead and measure these things out on Yom Tov because measuring is prohibited. But we learned from the yeshiva of Shmuel. So this is very interesting. So now you're going to have a statement of Shmuel and a statement that came in from the yeshiva of Shmuel, from the Tana of the yeshiva of Shmuel, presumably in Shmuel's name. But we learned from the yeshiva of Shmuel that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, hashtag the Amar Shmuel aser, v'tana de Shmuel mutter. So now that Shmuel himself says that it's aser, and yet the Tana, the ruling from the yeshiva, says that it's mutter. Look at the last Rashi in the Daf Rabosai. Hashtag the Amar Shmuel aser, v'hu shana b'mishnasa mutter. Shmuel b'shmaiti da'amar aser halacha l'maisa aser l'ashminan. Shabal lishal halacha l'asos maisa morin lo aser. V'chazinan inish da'avid lo machinan biyadei. Da'alacha d'mutter vein markes. Also listen to this, I'm sorry. So let's read on the days. So what does the Gemara say? Now that Shmuel says aser, but yet from the yeshiva it says mutter. What do you see from here? Shmuel halacha l'maisa aser l'ashminan. Shmuel is coming to teach us halacha l'maisa. We'll say, what does that mean practically? What that means practically, according to Shmuel, is like this. Is that really? You should not be doing any kind of measuring on Yom Tov. You should not be doing exact measuring on Yom Tov. But, so therefore again, if somebody asks you the Shaila, the answer should be, we do not measure on Yom Tov. However, if you see people doing this, it's not something that you should make a macha. It's not something that you should go ahead and make a big deal about. Because although, again, the technical halach is one should not do it, at the end of the day, if people were doing it, as long as, again, Abos said, they're not doing it with specific utensils for measuring, Lemaisa says, Shmuel, it's okay, and we'll leave it. Okay, we'll say, we'll see, probably tomorrow we'll get to it, but we'll see, Mir Tashem, what Halach Lemaisa is, again, from the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara goes, Vayitur, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Shonin Kemach B'Yom Tov, Mishum. Also, I'll just tell you just the one halacha lemaisa piece, which I should just tell you now, because it's just in the Mishnah, as we paskin like the Rabbanon, which is that lemaisa, again, you can't on Yom Tov, if you need to, let's say, if I need to borrow something, again, it wouldn't really come up for us in Yom Tov of going to a store as much as it would, let's say, borrowing something from someone else. So if I need to borrow something from someone else, so I can go ahead and ask for, I could say, Malay Kliza, can you bless you, can you fill up this cup with flour? But I cannot ask, how do you measure flour?
A cup
of flour?
Yeah.
Is that a measurement?
Can I have some sugar instead of, can I have a cup?
Yeah, exactly. So meaning, or I could go ahead and give the person the utensil, and go ahead and say, can you fill up this utensil with sugar? The idea is that the Shulchan Aruch paskin is that on Yom Tov, one may not discuss explicit measures. One may not discuss explicit amounts. Now again, what I could do, however, is I could take my measuring cup and I could go ahead and say to the person, can you fill up this measuring cup with sugar? Because the mice, again, as long as there's no explicit discussion of actual amounts, I could even use a clean, I could even use a measuring clean, as long as I'm not using it in the capacity of asking for a specific amount. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch what it discusses in terms of measuring yourself when you come to make food on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Shonin Kemach B'Yom Tov. You can't, I'll say, this is a case, Shonin literally means to repeat. In this case, what it actually means over here is to re-sift flour. You can't re-sift flour on Yom Tov. Look at Rashi. Ein Shonin Kemach. Sheraktu me'etmol. The case over here is where it was already sifted on Erev Yom Tov. Ubalu shanosa benafa. You want to re-sift it in a sieve. liafoso in shonen the ef shalom etmol. So Rashi says of your boss, this goes back to we've learned this before. Anything that can be done on erev yom tov with the same qualitative results may not be done on yom tov itself. Therefore, says the Braisa, you may not resift on Yom Tov, because at the end of the day, you could have resifted the flour on Erev Yom Tov if you wanted. Therefore, you can't do it today. Rabbi Huda bar ben Besira Amru, Shonin, however, Rabbi Pappas, Rabbi Huda ben Besira say, you can go ahead and do it on Yom Tov. Vishagan and both agree. Shim Nafal, the Sochan, Thor, Kisem, everyone agrees that what Rabbi was saying, that if, let's say again, I sifted on Erev Yom Tov, or even if I resifted on Erev Yom Tov, but then some impurity falls into the flour on Yom Tov itself, everyone agrees that what? Shishonin, that you can resift it. What Rabbo saying? Because again, remember, if the logic is that I could have done it on Yom Tov, that only applies to what? To something I could have actually done on Yom Tov. If the impurity falls in on Yom Tov, then no matter how many times I sifted or resifted on Erev Yom Tov, I cannot have taken care of that impurity prior to Yom Tov. Therefore, I would be permitted to resift it on Yom Tov. Tani Tani Kamei D'Ravino. There was a Tana that taught the following teaching in front of Ravino. Ein shonin kemach b'yom tov. You may not re-sift flour on Yom Tov. Aval nofor tzuror or kisim. However, again, if a pebble, kisim, it literally means like a twig, falls into the flour, borer b'yodo. You can go ahead and take it out with your hand. So I said, this is very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Tani Tana Kami Dravina in Shonen, Vatilu Nafan Sokhan Sura or Kisim, Ela Bodika Kisman Vatros Uborim Biadab. So, it's very interesting. Now, according to this version over here, that taught in front of Ravina, so this opinion held no, even if an impurity fell in on Yom Tov, you can't resift the flour on Yom Tov. Rather, what? You can pick out the impurity by hand. You do Borer. You can pick out the impurity by hand. Dorish Rava Barafuna Zuti. Apischa de Narda, Surava Barafuna Zuti, Darshan, by the entrance we have Narda, Shonin Kemach be Yom Tov. You in fact can resift flour on Yom Tov. Amalu Rav Nachman. So we'll say, so again, here's what's interesting. So apparently, just to give you the context, Rava Barafuna, when you see this lotion of that you darshan something at the entrance we have Narda, the entrance of Narda is like making an announcement. Right? I hereby proclaim that you are permitted to go ahead and re-sift flour on Yom Tov. So Rav Nachman hears this. Rav Nachman hears this, and he says, "Poku, go out va'amrule and say and va'amrule la'aba and go say to Abba. Abba was Rashi says means techaveri, my friend. So now Rav Nachman says, go out and tell my friend Rava Barafuna, shakila tivusach, go and take your good v'shadi achzori." And go throw it on the thorns. Puk chazi, because go out and see kama mahalusa, how many sifters hadran benarda are resifting in arda. In other words, Rav Osai, what Rav Nachman was saying to Rava Barafuna is shekoyach, right? It's very nice of you to show up in arda and proclaim that you can resift flour in arda. We've already been doing this, right? So your tova, so to speak, your kula, your leniency. Go look in Arda, how much resifting of flowers. Things were slow in Arda. Right? So look how much resifting of flour was happening in Arda already. We don't really, bless you, we don't really need your psak, we don't need your kula, because we're already abiding by this. Did this to Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, so the Gemara says, Nohla kimcha agaba dimihulasa. So the wife of Rav Yosef would re-sift flowers. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, Mahalusa Nafos would go ahead and literally re-sift flour on the back of the sieve. So she would re-sift flour with the shinui. She would re-sift flour with the shinui. Amar La, so we'll say, he said to her, meaning against Rav Yosef, he said to his wife, Chazi, si da'ana rifta ma'al yosa ba'ina. I like good bread. Rashi says, Rifta ma'al yosa, I'at tzricha l'shanos, the shonin kemach b'yomtov. Bless you. So we'll say, interesting enough, so here you have, so Rav Yosef's wife is re-sifting with the shinui. Rav Yosef says to her, listen, I really like good bread, which is another way of saying what? You don't have to do it the right way, meaning you don't have to re-sift with the shinui. So Rav Yosef was telling his wife, is you're being machmir unnecessarily, because re-sifting is permitted on Yom Tov. You need not re-sift with Shina. I will say now, I'm neglecting to read this Rashi. If you go back up top, the second Rashi and the Daf Shonin Rashi says, what's the logic for the opinion? Now, we understand the logic. We said that you can't resift on Yom Tov. Why? Why? Because you could have done it before Yom Tov with the same qualitative results. What's the logic of the opinion who says that you can resift on Yom Tov? Rashi says, Shonin, the Lekha Tircha. Because the act of resifting doesn't really have any kind of Tircha. There's no real exertion. The Dover Hanira Hu Shezoi Pam Shnia The Enzo Kimaraki Liver. So he says, so two reasons. Number one, because there's no real Tircha involved in resifting. The flour is already fine. So there's no Tircha. And number two, also, no one's going to assume that you, because you can resift, that you could what? That you could sift the Chatchila. Why? Because the processes are so dramatically different. They appear different. No one's going to extrapolate from one to the other. So therefore, again, Rav Yosef said to his wife, you don't have to sift, resift with the Shinoi. It's totally permitted. Another example. The Visud Ravashi, the wife of Ravashi, Nala Kimcha Agaba de Ptura, went ahead and sifted flour. Literally, Rabbos, what this means is on the underside of the table. If you look at Rashi, Agaba de Ptura, Rashi says, Achori HaShulchan, Shahaya La Toch, Shekorin, Tornuria, Toraira, Vihi Haisa Shona Kamach Alachori Mishum Shinui. So apparently, the table had some kind of depression in which she was sifting on. So what happened? Agaba de Ptura. Ravashi. Ravashi said, Hadidan Barte Dirami Barchama. So Ravashi sees his wife doing this. And apparently Ravashi himself felt that this was not necessary. But he says, you know, my wife is the daughter of Rami Barchama. Rami Barchama, Mora Du'uvdahava. And Rami Barchama was known as a man who was meticulous with his actions. Ve'ilav dechazye mibeinasha lo hava uvda. And if my wife would have not seen this in her father's home, she would not be doing this. Or in other words, the fact that my wife does this indicates that what? She must have seen this in her father's home. And if she saw this in her father's home, her father was a man who was very meticulous with his actions. And so the mice, again, if that's what she wants to do, that's what she does. I will say, just as Soloveitchik calls this the mimetic tradition, something that's really lost in our day and age. The mimetic tradition is that Lamaisa, the reason you do things is because I learned that from my parents. So the Rav explained that today we live in a very intellectual age. So we do things because we understand them, we do things because we know them, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but part of the beauty of Judaism is, if you would have asked a woman, you know, if you ask a girl who went through the yeshiva education system today, you know, why do you light Shabbos candles? So she could give you of all the reasons, Kavod and Zachar and Shamar and Kavod and Oneg and Shalom Bais and all the things. And if you would have asked a woman two generations ago, why does she light Shabbos candles? Because my mother did. Now I will say, again, it's beautiful to know the reasons. It's beautiful to know the reasons. But there's something exceptionally beautiful to also knowing that so much of what I do and who I am is because I model myself after what my parents did as well. So here you have, it's such a beautiful Gemara. Here you have Rav Yosef saying, excuse me, not Rav Yosef, Ravashi saying, listen, as far as I'm concerned, she doesn't need to do this. She doesn't, because again, resifting is mutar yom tov. But she clearly saw this in her father's home. And because she's, and I will say, this all assumes, of course, that one's parents were proper role models. Unfortunately, again, if one's parents were not proper role models, then again, the mimetic tradition is broken, which happens over time. But Lamaisa, again, I think that the right answer is a synthesis of both. That one's feeling towards something ultimately comes from feelings hopefully instilled by parents, and one augments that feeling, bolsters that feeling through compounding the intellectual understanding of it as well. In any event, you see over here that Ravashi felt his wife didn't need to do this, but yet again, because she clearly saw this from her father's home, he said, leave it. Says the Mishnah, Holich Adam Itzalchen v'ni Aragel Etzlo, v'omer lo tainli beitzin ve'agozi b'minyan. So we'll say, so what happens? A person now again wants to get some provisions for Yom Tov. We've already established again that you can't discuss measures and you can't discuss prices. So now let's say, so what happens? So we'll say, obviously these type of arrangements only work if the store owner knows me. Because if the store owner doesn't know me, and I walk in, I say, okay, can't discuss price, can't discuss measure, but I'm good for it. You know, like, obviously that's not going to work. So that's why the Mishnah says, if I go to someone who knows me, I say to him, do me a favor, give me eggs, give me nuts, and give me 25 eggs, give me 37 nuts. Shekin derech balabayis lios mona besoch peso. And the boss essentially is, I go ahead and I ask for the chenveni for product in the same way that a person counts it out in his home. Just like a person in his home often doesn't use specific units or measures, but a person uses just numbers. I need to use 3 eggs, 4 eggs, 5 eggs. That's how you can go to the proprietor as well. I can ask for a certain number of eggs, a certain number of nuts. No mention of price, no mention of weight. So the Gemara says, or measure, I should say. Tan Rabbanan, holich adam eats the haro al haragil etzlo. A person, let's say, I want to get an animal on Yom Tov. So what do I do? I go to a shepherd who knows me. I go to a shepherd who knows me. But Omer lo, and I say to him, Tain li gidi echad, otala echad. So give me a kid or give me a goat. Similarly, eitzal tabach haragil etzlo. I go to the butcher who knows me, and I say to him, do me a favor, Omer lo. Give me a shoulder of the animal. Oh, yerachachas, give me the leg of an animal. Eitzel potim haragil etzlo. They'll say potim literally means a fattener. This was the word that was used for someone who raised birds. I go to the bird guy and I say to him, Omer lo, tainli torechad, give me a favor, give me a pigeon, give me a torg or a dove, excuse me. Oh, gozel echad, or give me a pigeon. Eitzel nachtu, I go to the baker who knows me. Again, I will say, obviously, all of this works only with people who know each other. And therefore, again, the proprietor knows that as much as he's not discussing price and he's not discussing weight or measurements now, he knows ultimately, again, what the guy is taking, and they'll settle up after Yom Tov. So I go to the baker and I say to him, Tainli kikar echad, give me a loaf of bread, or gluska, give me a roll. Ve'itzel chen v'ni aroger, let's say I go to the storekeeper who I know, v'omer lo, Tainli eshrim beitzim, give me 20 eggs, o chamishim egozim, give me 50 nuts, Asura farsikin, give me 10 peaches. Lichamisha rimonim, 5 pomegranates. Esrog echad, give me an esrog. Ubilvad shalo yaskir lo sikum mido. As long as what? As long as there is no discussion about measurements. Rashi says, for example, kav o kabayim. I cannot make any mention of, so I could ask for a number. I could say 25 eggs. I can't ask for a kav, or I could say 25 nuts. I can't ask for a kav. I can't ask for a kav of nuts. Furthermore, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi says, "Ubilvach lo yiskar lo sikum mekach." What else can't I ask for? I also can't discuss sikum mekach, which is price. Rashi says, "Domim." So what comes out from this sugya is you could purchase, you could go ahead and secure items that you need for Yom Tov, as long as what? As long as there is no explicit mention of measurements, and as long as there is no explicit discussion of price. Hajun Allah ain Satin. We're gonna do I still owe you halacha lemaisa on the measuring utensils and the halachos of measuring at home, meaning when one is cooking themselves, which means Hashem, I think we can maybe squeeze in tomorrow a little bit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stop recording.